Well, really happy to welcome to the program today, Albert Lee from Quincy for Transformative Change. Chat a little bit, first of all, about that group and also about a rally coming up Saturday right in Quincy Center to combat anti-Asian racism, violence, and hate. So, Albert, welcome. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Joe. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to that we are now highlighting the kind of need for people in our community to speak up and giving them a chance to kind of share their stories.
If you could, before we talk about the event tomorrow, could you tell me a little bit about Quincy for Transformative Change?
Yeah, so Quincy for Transformative Change, or QFTC, is a kind of a citizen community group formed last summer out of the, after the protests, after the death of George Floyd, actually. There were a few folks in the community organizations that decided to put together a rally to kind of highlight the kind of the violence that's affecting people of color across the country, a lot of people came together for that, as you probably know. One part of that we realized that there was kind of a need for a space in Quincy for people who were like interested in kind of changing the social fabric and changing the community, bringing up community conversations about these issues that they haven't had a space to talk about in. So that was sort of the genesis of that. Got in contact with folks who had attended and the rally came together in this space. We created a mailing list, a Facebook group, started working with other groups as well on kind of organizing. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. There are other groups with kind of similar goals, I guess, or concerns. At least, are you part of those? Are you aware of those?
Yeah. So, there was another group kind of came out of the Eastern Nazarene College that is called Quincy for Justice, and they basically formed around the same time we did, and they held a rally, and we reached out to them . So we now part of their kind of leadership is on our organizing team as well. And we're also working with March Forward Quincy, which was formed a few years ago. And they've been doing a lot of good work around just kind of discussing different issues affecting the community as well. They've been working with the Thomas Crane Public Library as well on having book readings and sessions about on different topics.
How many folks, Albert, would you say are involved first in QFTC and then kind of general in this movement, if you would, in the city?
So that's actually a good question. So we have in terms of the people doing kind of organizing work, I would say a couple of dozen. And then there's a larger set of people who are allies who have helped us or come out to our events. That's in probably the, 800, 900, maybe 1,000 people, because there are 700 some people in the Facebook group. There's 200 some on the mailing list. There's also just a lot of other people involved in the community as well. So,
and would you say that they're all ages, all races? People have been here for a long time. Newcomers to the city, and what's kind of the makeup?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting like cross section of the city. I'm one of the younger folks, and also am a little bit nearer to Quincy. But we also have even in our organizing team, we have someone who has been actually doing organizing work on the South Shore for longer than I've been alive. We have a few other younger folks around my age, And like, for example, the person who helped put together our posters is a high school student who's like 16. We have, another group that I want to highlight is North Quincy High in Solidarity, which is a group put together by the high school students there, and they've been very vocal and driving kind of changes both within the school system as well as you've probably seen, like the mascot change that finally happened was on a large part through their efforts. And that's like basically, yeah, students realizing that they can kind of speak up about these issues and really being passionate about it. So we also have like a lot of young folks, but we also have people who've doing organizing stuff who have been like fighting on different issues for decades. I think that it's just a big like spectrum across like different demographics. We have a lot of like older folks who are, like maybe like folks who are parents or retired and they want to see like kind of now that like people are speaking up more, they want to see kind of the changes that they were fighting for back, decades ago to happen. And and just have a better future for their, the children and their grandchildren. But I see a lot of energy also coming, from younger folks. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. You may or may not be aware that years ago the city did have its own Human Rights Commission. Actually, it has, since kind of gone into dormancy, if you will. And I guess this is the filling the need, that once did years ago. And it I guess it says to me that there is still a need. Do you feel the same way?
So, that's interesting you bring that up. I'm where we used to have a Human Rights Commission. We also used to have an officer on civil rights, I believe, through the 90s. These were official city commissions that operated for many years. And now, like the there hasn't been an equivalent for probably at least a decade and a half. Last fall, the Quincy City Council proposed an ordinance to create a new department for the city called the Department of Social Justice and Equity. And that would look at kind of across all the departments of the city, kind of how they were doing in terms of how their relationship with the communities and basically like actually going into each community and kind of seeing what issues they were facing as well in kind of a holistic way. So that's like something that has since like kind of started up again. So that's something we've been very enthusiastic about hearing. Unfortunately, like the mayor was not as supportive of the proposal, even though it passed with basically through city council. And this is probably the first time there's been an ordinance by city council that the mayor has not gone forward with.
Right, as you may be aware, he has agreed to form a committee, if you will, a commission to study the possibility of that committee, or at least of making some type of structural changes. Is that kind of a partial victory, would you say?
Yeah, I feel like it's a step in the right direction, but it's also kind of has kind of its own set of issues because we're looking at a temporary commission of volunteers as opposed to a city appointed city a paid like office and the whether or not the need is for a permanent position is part of the mandate for this commission. And I feel like it's not a lot of time given like the time frame to get that all that data. And really that's a big part of what we wanted kind of out of the creation of the department is to be able to kind of really understand what's happening in the city at a very high level and within each community as well. Yeah.
Do you know have any members of QFTC or March Forward Quincy or any of the other groups been asked to serve on that mayoral commission?
So actually, the mayoral commission, I was part of a delegation that met with mayor about 2 weeks ago, and we found out that the commission members had already been chosen, and none of us in kind of within the groups that have been doing like community work in the community were informed of this. So. I do know a little bit about the composition of the committee, and I'm hopeful, but right now it's kind of a mystery of what that's actually going to look like.
Let's talk a little bit about the event that's been put together for tomorrow that has risen, of course, specifically out of high-profile incidents of violence against Asian Americans, but really more generally, probably since the pandemic started.
So, yeah, it's kind of been, of course, we see the numbers, like we... The one thing about like this violence is you can't, obviously not every incident you can attribute right to racism or any intent around it, but what we can see on a larger scale is that like we've seen, you know, the 150% increase in these sort of incidents since the beginning of the pandemic, and it's not like part of it obviously is the kind of the rhetoric around COVID that has happened in terms of calling it the China virus or basically pinning the blame on either China itself or the Asian community at large, and that sort of stigmatism has pervaded a lot of people's interactions with the Asian community. We've seen at the beginning of the pandemic, visitorship to like Boston Chinatown like dropped precipitously, right? And a lot of shops went out of business, and a lot of people are struggling there. And we kind of saw a bit of the same thing in Quincy as well. And there are a lot of people that are struggling as a result. But what's different about now in terms of like this is not the first time something like this has happened, and this is something that my parents' generation had to deal with different issues, but in this kind of similar way as well. And what I think is different now is that a lot of people are feeling more empowered to kind of speak out about their own experiences, especially like younger folks who are kind of have kind of the foundation for talking about these issues, because they've seen the groundwork laid by other activists, other people kind of speaking out about issues in their own communities, this part is not completely new either. There's been solidarity movements in the past, even around like the civil rights era, and even in with the stuff that happened in like the 90s, and there have been solidarity movements between like Asian communities and other communities of color. Black communities, but now there's much more high level, like the conversation is at the level where people are able to kind of get on the same foundation of understanding, so it's really encouraging that people are speaking up more. I think one reason that it's taken this long is like if you look at the history of the Asian community in America, like we've been, there was, kind of explicitly racist policies up until even the 1990s, like the 1900s, the Chinese Exclusion Act, and of course, like what happened like during World War II with the basically concentration camps. And And a lot of that like kind of baggage has kind of affected how our communities, right, are able to kind of feel safe expressing themselves. Like we, a lot of folks in like my parents' generation, my grandparents' generation would be, felt that it was safer to not be that squeaky wheel, not stand out. That was a way to guarantee like safety and not be targeted the way some folks might be targeted for speaking out, especially back then. And people are recognizing kind of that is not really sustainable. That really just kind of brings us to the that's what led up to the current situation. And we really need to kind of be able to talk about ourselves and our own identities and share that freely. But even now, like I know like some of my friends are kind of afraid to be seen speaking out in public because they think they might be personally targeted. I mean, some of my friends have experienced violence personally as well. Some folks who wanted to contribute their stories at the rally on Saturday, they asked to share their stories anonymously instead of speaking in person because they don't want kind of to be targeted. They're afraid of that happening, and that's something that's kind of really I hear a lot in the kind of conversations with the community right now.
If you can, let's kind of run down the event, and while you're doing that, I'll show folks a flyer that's been put together. This is a collaborative effort between several different groups, right?
Right. So Quarry is the Quincy Asian Resources Inc. and is one of the main neighborhood organizations for the Asian community here. They've been doing a lot of great work around kind of food security, all sorts of resources for folks, especially like in the immigrant community here. So they're hosting a rally called Fight Anti-Asian Hate at 11 a.m. And they're working with a couple of community partners in the city to do that. There'll be a presence by members of the city government as well. And then at 12:30, our kind of arts and culture task force will be hosting an art event for kind of that's friendly, family friendly, and we'll be have arts and crafts and coloring postcards, doing chalk art, making signs, just activities for people with families there. At 1, we are hosting the Stand Up, Speak Out Pan-Asian Solidarity Rally, and that will kind of highlight the voices of our community members in the Asian American communities here. And there will be a kind of a lineup of different people kind of speaking to their personal experiences, as well as some people with submitted statements in advance, and those statements will be read as well. And we also invite allies to kind of speak in support of the community as well.
This is something that I'm sure you're hoping everybody will come to, but during the time of COVID, what are some of the safety protocols, Albert, that'll be in place?
Right. So we have been very strict at previous events about maintaining proper distancing, and everyone has to wear a mask. That's not optional. And we're going to make sure, of course, that people are able to stay safe while they're in the space. Hopefully there will be enough room, in the square for everyone. But we are asking everyone who attends to wear a mask and respect distancing. And there'll be some supplies like hand sanitizer and extra masks available as well if people need it.
What do you hope will come out of this?
So I hope we do have people who are more comfortable talking about, again, their experiences, and maybe now our kind of leaders are more willing to listen than in the past, that people will feel comfortable kind of speaking out when they encounter problems, because it is like these things aren't new. A lot of things just have kind of not kind of been brought to attention, especially by, you know, by our people in power, just because like people don't feel comfortable speaking out. They don't feel like their problems are important enough to talk about. And they're worried about a negative response. So I think I hope like we can kind of build a stronger kind of community in Quincy around kind of addressing kind of the issues that are kind of unique to all of our communities, and that have been kind of happening for generations. And Quincy is like kind of still, you know, still ever kind of in a process of change. And of course, like, but like the power, like the kind of power structures that are in the city right now don't always reflect what the city looks like today. If you look at, yeah. So really like hoping that people will feel more empowered to both like participate in, even in like in speaking out and participating in their own like government, participating you know in different civic duties here, and just like building a strong community and making a place where everyone can feel safe.
Do you yourself feel safe in Quincy, Albert?
Well, that's an interesting question. I feel like I'm not necessarily visible enough that I'm too worried, but like I know friends who have experienced violence themselves. I have not experienced violence toward me personally. I've only experienced, you know, like verbal abuse or things like that. But that's definitely not the case for everyone. So I feel like I think I'm wary, but I'm hopeful that we will kind of have. I mean, I think our community is can come together and like help everyone else feel safe as well. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add right now?
I would like to kind of just share that like we do kind of hope that that there will be longer structural change in the city, and that now that people are like finally giving a voice to these concerns, and it's like it's I guess it's also kind of interesting to see maybe the difference in tone, the contrast of the city's response to the protests last year in the movement for Black Lives, and the city's response to kind of our Asian community members kind of lifting their voices now, and I think that does reflect kind of on the relationship to the city that we have between like Quincy does have a Black community. We're 6% Black, but the 31% Asian community that has much larger kind of impact on the city as a whole, because just because of kind of the nature of all the business relationships and elsewhere, and we are probably still one of the faster growing communities in the city. One more thing, Quincy's Asian communities aren't, a monoculture either. We're, actually pretty diverse in terms of both, in terms of just our backgrounds, as well as just in terms of like our financial situation and so on, because like we have not only, of course, Chinese immigrants or American born Chinese, we also have a Vietnamese population, we have Filipino population, we have and if you think about like our Asian kind of communities, we also have East South Asian communities, we have people from the Indian community, we have people from all over, and they all have kind of different experiences shaped by, of course, like how the history of those communities in the city as well. And I think like it really is imperative on us as a community to kind of highlight kind of these different experiences let people have the visibility that they need to kind of talk about the issues that are specific to their communities.
If folks would like to learn more about Quincy for Transformative Change, how would they do that?
So the easiest way to kind of find out more about us is to go to qftc.org. Right now that will send you to the Facebook page where you can kind of sign up to get announcements. You can also join the Facebook group there. We will have a website up soon as well that will be at the same address, qftc.org. And we also have an Instagram account at QuincyFTC. That's QuincyFTC.
Okay. Appreciate your time, Albert. And I hope you have a successful event tomorrow.
Thank you. The event's on. You're talking about the art event. Yeah. For sign making. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks so much, Joe.
You're welcome. Good to talk to you.
Likewise.